Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer, and welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. Chris Michelle is joining us today. Chris just joined Service Nation as the training director. Chris has an impressive background in our industry. He's been a coach, a consultant, territory manager, comfort advisor, operations manager, sales manager, general manager, and I bet he's done more than that. He has done it all in our industry. You can see why Service Nation was so anxious to hire him as training director. In addition to all of that, he's written a book, The Red Chair Experience, which has been really well received. Chris is also a volunteer with a Habitat for Humanity, which is an amazing organization. So we're going to hear about all of that from Chris, and I ask him to give us three pieces of advice for contractors. So Chris Michelle, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity.
Thank you, David. It's good to be here.
So you have had quite a diverse career in our industry. How did you get into our industry, and tell us about your career to this point?
Sure. So I was traveling quite a bit about 20 years ago, and a buddy of mine was in the industry working for Service Experts, and he said, "Hey, how would you like to be home, spend more time with your kids, and you know, that kind of stuff?" And I was like, "Sure, that'd be great." And he goes, "And you might make extra money in the process." And I was like, "Well, absolutely."
So win-win.
Yeah, right. And so I took a chance in 04. And started out with Service Experts, and the rest, they say, is history. But yeah, I've gotten to do a lot of different things in the industry, and it's been pretty amazing. But a lot of my career has been in sales and then in training, and I really kind of focused on those two aspects.
You must have a love for the industry. I mean, you were in something else before. You came into heating and air conditioning, and you've been here ever since. What did you find in it that was different and better, or just different and worse? I don't care.
Well, you know, David, you've been around it long enough. There's something about it that it doesn't matter how hard you try to get out, you can't get out. And I say that tongue in cheek, but there's almost an addictive quality to it, right? And for somebody like myself, I enjoy helping people. I enjoy watching others succeed and giving them the tools. And I'm in an age in my life where I've learned quite a bit. Still haven't learned it all, but I've learned quite a bit. And I feel like I'm definitely at the point where I just want to be able to give back and help other people to succeed and do the things that they want to do, reach the goals that they want to reach, right? I am inspired to help people do what inspires them so that they may be fulfilled. And that just keeps me coming back again and again and again. And so, like I said, I kind of jokingly say I couldn't get away from it, but there was a definite point in time where I was like, I want to be thoughtful and really mindful about the direction that I'm going with my career, because I didn't want to be that frontline person forever, right? I loved being in sales and helping people out that way, but I also wanted to step back and start doing leadership and start doing training and start doing some other things that really, really started to impact not just the people I was seeing, but then the people that the other people were seeing, right? And so on and so forth, that kind of thing, right?
Well, it sounds like the training director position is going to be perfect for you then. Talk to us a little bit about what your responsibilities are going to be at Service Nation.
First and foremost, I'll be responsible for all of the training that we do going forward. And that's across all the different levels of membership. And obviously, we're looking at what we're doing currently with the management training, the leadership training, any kind of sales or financial or any of those things that we're doing currently. And how do we improve that? How do we make all of that better? And so that's just part of what I'm doing. And then I think there's so much that we're just not doing to help out the contractors from a training perspective. And we want to open up those doors and if you will, open up the floodgates. Because people like you, David, have so much experience and so much wisdom and knowledge in certain areas, we want to take and expand that, right? And we want to utilize people like yourself and people like Tom and Jim and right, others at Service Nation and have been around for a very long time. And then we've also got these new folks that are coming in and they've got experience and they've seen things that we haven't seen, right? They know technology. They know certain other aspects that we just don't know. And so being able to bring all of these things together in a place that is accessible so that the contractors, the members can have access to all of this stuff, whether it's online training or in-person training, or maybe it's through books or things that we provide.
Talk to us about what you think about the mix of online training versus in-person training.
Well, you know, the pandemic really showed us what we're capable of doing. And when I say capable, training used to be in person, or you did webinars, and webinars were so impersonal, at least from my perspective. They were so impersonal because you weren't really interacting. I personally enjoy giving and receiving the interactive type of training where we're literally hands-on, we're workshopping things, we're talking through and developing, collaborating, if you will, on different things that'll help to make us better, sharper, all of those things. So there is a fine line between in-person and online. I've been in trainings that, quite frankly, you shouldn't do online. You should do them in person. And when you're doing tech training and that kind of stuff, it's difficult to do the, okay, now I need you to go and replace the capacitor and do it this way, or change the compressor and do it this way, or, right? Those things are more difficult to do online. Though with VR now, that's opened up a whole new world. But I think there's a good mix there, because as you and I were talking earlier, there's the ability now to learn in so many different ways and in so many different formats. People listen to podcasts every single morning so that they can get some knowledge about some subject that they're trying to learn, right? They're watching these short 5-minute, 10-minute, 15-minute videos to learn, you know, how do I do these things? So there's all kinds of opportunities. And I think for me, as the training director, it's going to be able to figure out what is that balance between in-person and online, and how do we make those two work well together. And it's an ongoing battle on how do we make this appropriate so that everybody's getting something out of it.
Yeah, I think it's a really exciting time to be in training, because the online tools have improved. People understand how to use them. I mean, we've all taken online courses that were not very good, but I think understanding how to create good online content has improved a lot over time.
Sure.
And then you made a really good point. I mean, some training just should be done in person. Right. Certainly during the pandemic, I missed those face-to-face, one-on-one, pressing the flesh, looking into eyeballs of right. the other people, you know, those interactions that I missed. It was terrible not to have those. And that's one of the wonderful things about training. You learn from all the other people.
Yeah. At least in my eyes, that's one of the benefits of being in a room with other people. Like you said, it's seeing the whole body language. You're not just looking at their face or if they're off screen, right? And unfortunately, we've gotten to the point where we enter a online meeting and we turn off our cameras and we mute ourselves again, right? And right. We create a webinar-like experience, and we don't get a whole lot out of it. We just don't. And that's the unfortunate thing, is people need to learn at their own paces. I absolutely agree. Some people read, some people watch, some people listen, right? There's different ways to learn, and it's being able to address each one of those for each person effectively.
You're going to be such a huge hit at this. I can tell. Service Nation is lucky to have you. I know the members are going to get a lot of value out of you being there. So I'm happy to hear you joined.
Well, thank you.
So you wrote a book. Tell us about it.
I did. I wrote a book called The Red Chair Experience. It's a daily inspiration for success in life and business. And it was brought about because of the pandemic and because of some life experiences that were going on. And when you look at the book, you'll see there is a red leather recliner on that cover. It is mine. A friend of mine, Cassie Ray, did the photo shoot for it. So she did an amazing job. But that chair has basically a whole lot of depth and meaning, but it's a place of experience. And I have to explain that to people, because a lot of us don't necessarily have a place of experience. And what I mean by that is we go daily to read, to think, to pray, to meditate, to do some sort of daily activity that kind of sets our mindset for the day. My red chair is that place of experience. And I encourage people in the book to find that place of experience. So this is 366 entries. So you can pick up the book, and most people, the first thing they do is they look for their birthday, or they look for today's date, right? And they go to that particular entry and they read it and they go, wow, that really made sense. That really hit home. That really resonates with me. Or sometimes, and I'm okay with this, I wrote this in the book in the introduction, I said, some days are going to hit and some days are just not going to hit. But the thing I enjoyed about reading other books like this was I could come back a year later and that hit me completely different, right? Today's reading may be completely different because I'm in a different place, right? And there's all kinds of quotes that are in the book that are from centuries ago to things that I was doing up until I was writing the book. it's an opportunity for people to kind of get that daily inspiration, that daily motivation. Sometimes we just need to get motivated from something we look at or read or understand. And so that's what this is. A friend of mine called it a book that you sit down with a nice cup of tea or a cup of coffee and sit down in your favorite spot. And it's like having a gentle conversation with a close friend.
Well, it has certainly gotten rave reviews. It's very popular. What caused you to write this? I mean, this wasn't really in your background. What was the motivation behind creating this?
Well, David, we're going to jump off the deep end because you asked.
Good.
We all have experiences in our life and we all go through different things and they're called stressors. And these stressors are things like changing a job, moving, getting married, getting divorced, having children, and the death of a loved one or a friend. Well, I had at least two stressors every year, sometimes up to four, for about 6 years in a row. Part of it was done during the time that I was writing this book. And so what happened was my daughter got married in July of 19. I was dealing with some health issues and started my health journey, started working on eating healthier and doing some holistic type of healing for my body because I was dealing with long-term health issues. And then my brother died by suicide in September of 19. Well, all of these things happened within a two, three-month period. Well, 6 months later, the pandemic starts. And then a buddy of mine sends me a meme and says, I mean, and he sent this meme, which was crazy. He sent this to me like a month into the pandemic. And it basically said, if during the pandemic, you did not do something to improve yourself, work on your side hustle, do something, right? It's not that you didn't have time, it's that you wasted it. And so I had always wanted to write a book, never knew about what. And I was reading books like this that were daily inspirations for me. And so I sat down and started writing. And as I started to write about the death of my brother, the loss of my stepdad, who was my business mentor years before, the things that were going on in my life at the time, and the things that had happened in business and all these other things, it really just started to take shape. And I was like, all right, we're just going to write this and we're going to go for it. And so that's what inspired me to write the book.
Good for you. I'm sorry to hear about the difficult things that you went through.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And like I said, David, we all go through them, right? It's, we have to learn how to work with them and how to, if you will, make adjustments. And if we don't deal with them, then we don't learn from them. So.
Sounds like a great book. As I said, it's got great reviews. If somebody wanted to buy this book, what would be the best way for them to do that?
The easiest thing, because everybody has Amazon, is to go to Amazon. But you can buy it at any retailer. Anywhere you buy a digital book, it's out there on audio. Yes, I read the audio book myself. I did all of that. You can get it in print, in digital format, and in audio. If they want a signed copy, they can actually go to my website, which is theredchairexperience.com, and they can pick one up there.
Oh, cool. Theredchairexperience.com, and you'll get a signed copy that way?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So you have been in our industry for a while. You've got this broad range of experience. You've seen contractors succeed. You've seen them fail. What three pieces of advice would you have for contractors in our industry?
Well, I think the most obvious one, partly because I work for a company like Service Nation, is you need a coach, you need a mentor. And whether it's part of a group like Service Nation or the like, right? But I think we all really need somebody that we can lean on, that we can get an objective viewpoint from, that can see our business in a way that we can't see it. So first things first, please get a coach, please get a mentor, somebody that you can work with that'll help you. Second, realize that you cannot do everything. And that's hard, especially as a small business owner. We really want to do everything. And there was a great book that I've read and I recommend it a lot. It's called Who Not How. And when you learn to find the who and not the how, right? If I want to build a website, instead of me going and figuring out how to build a website, I go and hire somebody to build the website. So that's the who, not the how. And so when we realize that we can't do everything by ourselves, we really need to put people in place to take care of those things and let them do it. That's huge. And then the third thing is don't be afraid of change. And I think sometimes we get fearful of, well, what if I do this or what if I do that? Failure is how we learn. And unfortunately, people think that success is all the rage. Don't get me wrong. Success is awesome and it's wonderful and we need that, but we learn by failure. And I'm not saying go out there and learn how to fail or go out there for failure, right? But don't be afraid of it either, right? Don't be afraid of change because things come up and, you know, Edison was questioned when he finally invented the light bulb. They said, how does it feel to fail 1,000 times at creating a light bulb? And he said, I didn't fail 1,000 times. There's just 1,000 different steps in order to make a light bulb. Yeah. And it's that kind of a mindset, right? That just says, hey, things are going to happen. So don't be afraid to change. Don't be afraid of failure. Let that stuff happen and it will come to you.
Yeah, it'd be great to go through a life with nothing but success after success with no failures. But I don't know anybody that has done that. And it just doesn't work that way, right? No. We're all going to fail at something sometime.
Absolutely. And quite frankly, if you're not failing, then you're not trying. I mean, I can't remember who quoted that or who said that, but if you're not failing, you're not trying.
All right. So the list of three, and these are really good, by the way, find a coach and a mentor. It might be through a group of other contractors, but find a coach and a mentor. You can't do it all yourself. Find the right people to do it for you and don't be afraid of change. Good stuff. So Chris, thank you so much for doing this with me. I really appreciate it. I am excited to see what's going to happen with the training programs at ServiceNation. I know you're going to make huge changes and they're going to be really great for the members. So congratulations and thank you for joining ServiceNation. And thanks for doing this with me today on the podcast. I look forward to talking with you again in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks, David, again for having me.
We're always looking for good ideas and interviews for our podcast. If you have an idea or maybe you think you should be interviewed, just shoot an email to profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. That's profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. If you think what we're doing has any value, it would be very helpful if you would give us a great rating on iTunes. Thanks for your support. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.